Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Cricket Podcast. This is Jack with just a little warning that we had some internet connection issues on this show between Ross and I. That means that I think we fell a little short of the standard we like to set in terms of your listening experience. So apologies for that up front. We'll make sure that our internet service providers hear all about the problem and hopefully we bounce back on the next episode. I don't think it really has a major impact on the podcast as a whole, but I thought I'd mention it before the episode started because there are a couple of moments where we sort of talk at cross purposes and it sounds a little bit weird. Thanks all. Hello everyone and welcome to our slightly belated Ashes preview. I'm joined by Ross Legg and I am Jack. I'm very jet lagged, so all the words came out in the wrong order there. How you doing, Ross?
Yeah, I'm good. I like sitting in this bay window as it makes me look like I'm, I don't know, emanating light like the sun.
Yeah, yeah, or like you're extremely pale.
Yeah, actually, maybe I've not been in the sun for years. That's maybe what it actually is.
You bought a special kind of makeup to kind of Phantom of the Opera style. We are going to be talking about the Ashes. It is going to be fun. It does start tomorrow, so this preview is slightly late. I mean, I suppose most people will be listening to it before the match kicks off tomorrow. We can do key battles, we can do predictions, and a bunch of other stuff. Before that, though, Ross, Serious Cricket are our sponsor. Can you tell us about Serious Cricket?
Yes, they provide all our cricket equipment, and if you use code TCP23, you will get 10% off. And they are absolutely spot on. New bat, new helmet, whatever you need, go to Serious Sport and use code TCP23 for 10% off.
Right, Ross, first question for you. What is the Ashes?
The Ashes is where all of the players from the first ever match against England and Australia died, and they put all the ashes from them into a little urn. That's how it came about. And unfortunately, they lost that Ashes. They scattered it somewhere, and they actually then were just like, "Oh no!" So they burnt the little bales and they put it into a little pot, and that's what they play after with the Test series between England and Australia.
And what's happening this year, 2023?
Australia in town. They've come to Blighty. They're going to Fortress Edgbaston, as it was named, and immediately we lost to them in that test match because that's how hubris works. And then when it comes to this summer, it's Basball, the Stokes and McCullum revolution of the England team that saw us go from one win in 17 to, I think, what, it's, we've won like 11 out of 13 or something. We're bloody brilliant now, but we're up against the World Test champions who have just overcome India in that battle at the Oval. And yeah, as much as they have been scared to travel abroad during COVID, because they were wusses about it and we went everywhere, they have got a pretty solid team All of whom, this is maybe not all of them, but there's a lot of them who this is their last Ashes. So they've got some points to prove. Steve Smith has hit so many centuries in England. It's unbelievable. I saw him alone score 350 runs in person last time they were in town. But they've got Labuschagne, they've got a renewed Usman Khawaja. Dave Warner said he's going to retire in January. And yeah, they've got some points to prove with an even more fierce bowling lineup than England have.
Yeah, I mean, like they're a team, aren't they, Australia? I have to dwell on them, and then we'll talk about the likely 11s, I think. They are a team that, if they win here, will probably tick over into greatness. They dominated England in Australia. They were good in 2019. They tied it. They were actually all right away in India. They'll always have the blot of the Gabba on their record, if you like. But I think they'll go down as one of the best Australian sides of all time if they are able to break, what is it, a 23-year streak? 24-year streak? 25-year streak? It might be 25. Let's say 25. It's not 25. I think it's 24. In fact, 22. My math is terrible. if they're able to break
really
that... Yeah, man.
Mate.
Yeah, it's bad. If they're able to break that streak, then they'll go into the record break books. Yeah. So to speak, Ross, let's talk Ashes 11s, because England have done that thing where they tell us 2 days in advance who will be playing. So I'll run through the team. I don't think there are any major surprises beyond one. Oh, yeah, you know, obviously, but we kind of knew that surprise was going to happen. So we've got Ben Duckett, Zach Crawley, Ollie Pope, Joe Root, Harry Brook, Ben Stokes, Johnny Bairstow, Moeen Ali, Stuart Broad, Ollie Robinson, and Jimmy Anderson. First question, is that England's best Test 11?
I think it might have been. Yeah, I'm again completely not sold on Zach Crawley being there, but genuinely, he's not going anywhere, so I need to stop talking about it. I think it's a relatively samey but high class bowling lineup. I think I would have liked to see Mark Wood in that lineup. I think he's at that point of difference, and if England are going to be rolling out some flat fast tracks, then Mark Wood is someone who you'd want in the side. And then Moeen Ali, obviously a massive buyer of Moeen Ali over the last few years, and he's come in because Jack Leach has somehow got a spinal fracture, and yeah, he was probably the only real alternative we had who's got kind of experience at that level, regardless of how good people or how bad people think he is as well. So yeah, I'm not sold that it's our best 11, but I'm also not Ben Stokes or Brendan McCullum, so I don't get to make that decision.
Well, that's a very diplomatic answer there. The thing that stands out to me, Ross, and Ben Stokes has been saying today that he has confidence he'll be bowling in the Ashes. I wouldn't expect it will be sort of 15 overs a day, though, at this point. With Moeen Ali in as the fourth bowler, does the bowling look a little bit light as the first, you know, strategic question for this side to answer?
So I think England have, especially in the last, in the Bazball era, have gone after taking 20 wickets and kind of gone, do you know what, we can concede runs as long as we're creating opportunities. And I think it's fair to say that Moeen Ali will be gone after by some of the lineup. But if you look at Australia's back lineup, Dan and I were talking about it on Wednesday or Monday, sorry. There's a few left-handers in that top line on that Australian 11, and I think it's going to be, dare I say it, yeah, I think it's a better person to have in a lineup than Jack Leach, actually. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Mo does. I think Joe Root has shown that he's a more than capable kind of backup option as well if they need to go down that route. And yeah, I think rotating kind of Anderson, Broad and Robinson almost from one end is great, but if they need to, they've got the extra seamer to do what they need to do from the other end, and Stokes will bowl. There's just no doubt about it, I don't think. As you say, it will just be in short, sharp bursts rather than potentially the marathon spells we used to.
Yeah, fair enough. I suppose last question with England. Is this the best batting lineup we've seen from them for a while? I mean, it's sort of a Bayliss era with Bairstow at 7 and Moeen Ali at 8.
Broad at 9.
But you know, a few of the other players have kind of come into their own. I think Robinson will bat above Broad on that. I mean, like,
Nighthawk.
Apart from Nighthawk scenarios, I think Robinson's better. But Duckett, Pope, and Brook as three new additions to the top five since the last Ashes, anyway.
Really
seemed to solidify things. I mean, I know Pope played, but he's better now.
So who do we have? So last time we played at Edgbaston, we would have had...
Oh, the last home Ashes? Yeah, yeah.
God, we would have had Jason Roy opening the batting.
Burns opened with him, didn't he? Actually, had an okay series, Burns.
Yeah. And then you would have had Root in that lineup. Butler was, I think, in at five in that lineup. And Joe Denley was number three.
Yeah. So it's
that's a stark difference, I think, between those two areas.
Well, it's shifted around a lot, hasn't it? I mean, like, if you're looking at this from an England point of view, I think you're more comfortable with 2023 Ollie Pope and Harry Brook than you are with Butler and Denley. And I almost forgot Denley's name between you saying it and me having to recall it again. But like, bang all the way down to eight. I mean, from the perspective of the Bazball template, that should mean serious runs, and it should be a really punishing second 40 overs that Australia have to bowl when that ball starts to get a bit softer.
Yeah, I think I'm just very excited to see what we've got in order, and I think you saw it in Australia versus India that there was passages of the game where Rahane kind of looked really assured at the, and managed to counter-attack. Saw it with Jadeja as well, and people suggesting that this Australian bowling lineup is kind of all-conquering. Like, don't get me wrong, they are really good, and I think Hazelwood injury, they managed to find Scott Boland as kind of a good replacement in that space. Will Hazelwood play? Will Boland play? Don't know, but I still think England have it about them to go after this lineup, and playing in Edgbaston with a holly stand, kind of screaming and shouting. It's going to be such a brilliant test match. And I think someone like Crawley, this is the one where you go out and make a real name for yourself. You've been given so many opportunities, like, go and do it. But massive question mark over him.
Yeah. I mean, it would make a lot of people really angry if he went out and got two tons in the series, wouldn't it?
It'd be absolutely hilarious. It'd be peak kind of art, like Rob Key. Rob Key would turn around and be like, I told you, look, everything he touched.
Oh, no, sorry. I think the internet went a bit bad. So what happened? I don't know what you said. I know you're there on, Saturday. But that's that. Should we turn our attention to Australia? Do you have a likely 11 for them? I don't think they've released the actual side like England have.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if they move away from their 11 that they played against Australia. I thought it was kind of a well-balanced lineup. The only question mark, I think, is going to be whether it's Scott Boland who plays, or if it's Travis Head, I've just read his name, or Josh Hazelwood. So Scott Boland or Josh Hazelwood is the piece. But I mean, their batting lineup looks solid. You had Alex Carey hitting runs, which was a big bonus for them, because I think it hasn't been a particularly fruitful position for Australia over the last kind of decade. Obviously with Tim Payne and his no centuries, and Alex Carey's done an okay job. There's no doubt about it. But it hasn't been super prolific in that space. They also have a tail who can do a bit of damage, like Mitchell Starc and Pat Cummins with the bat aren't mugs in that position. Nathan Lyon can be frustrating. And I just think they're quite well balanced, the two sides of what they've got. Cameron Green, I think, is such a point of difference in this lineup. So if you compare him as the all-rounder to Ben Stokes as the all-rounder, that is a huge, huge battle. Cameron Green has really grown in stature over the last kind of couple of years. And his bowling is going to be potentially kind of more resilient, maybe not more reliable, but more resilient than Ben Stokes's knee potentially is. And he's an unbelievable fielder at gully who likes to claim catches that hit the grass. So we're in danger.
So just on that, because obviously I was in the States, so I didn't really see this in lots of detail. The photos I saw did look out.
All of our Indian listeners, Jack, are throwing stuff at the screen now.
As is their want, but the picture, I obviously have seen the screen grab of Shubman Gill, or the Shubman Gill posted to Twitter. To me, that just looked like a catch. I didn't really get what the shush face was about.
Ultimately, it's much of a much just right. They lost. It wasn't even close. If it was a really close decision and a really close game, it would have been an issue, right? But ultimately, they got battered.
That's fair enough. Just on that topic, Ross. Obviously, India agreed to play that warm-up match with Australia before the Ashes. Do you think that will make a big difference? England, they turned over Ireland. They destroyed Ireland, didn't they? I mean, it was basically
pointless.
It was a non-contest. India are a little bit better than Ireland, and I think gave Australia a semi-decent game. In your calculus of factors, where does that play, or how does that play?
Yeah, no, I think it does benefit Australia. So Dan and I talked about it a little bit on Monday, but I do think it does benefit Australia of going in with a little bit of a warm up, some miles in the legs for the bowlers, which they can rotate. I also think a load of confidence would have gone into sort of Steve Smith, Travis Head, who hit some pretty good runs, if we're being honest. And you saw when Steve Smith came to the county game, didn't really light it up in the kind of three games that he played. But here he looked back to his best. And I think people really underestimate Travis Head as well. Dan said that it was a candidate for being the worst overseas player of all time in the county game when he came and played for Sussex, and he averaged about 10. But now he's a completely different beast.
Right, Ross, we are going to hit the break button, and then we're
going to hit runs.
Cool. We're going to hit the break button and then come back with part two.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Here we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cricket Podcast after an extended break. I think my internet is maybe a little bit jet lagged as well. Ross, we're going to talk some key battles now. I'm just going to dive straight in here with my theory on how this Ashes is going to go. I think with the new ball, both teams are roughly equal in English conditions. I think they'll both carry a reasonable wicket-taking threat. I think that the matches will basically be decided by how quickly teams score when the ball is between 41 and 80 overs old before you get that second new ball. Basically, England don't bat for longer than 90 overs. They do all of their batting in 90 overs in one day, and they really target when that ball gets older to pile on the runs, gives them time to bowl out the other team. Will Australia fight fire with fire on that front, or do you think that they will go about things their way and look to bat long and accumulate rather than baseball?
I think they're going to have to fight fire and fire with fire a little bit, I think. So I think they've come out today and said that David Warner will be aggressive. I think that you see Travis Head's normal way of playing is aggressive. Steve Smith also is kind of a master at kind of putting an innings together, and Labuschagne is not far behind. I think they will be positive and they will look to put pressure on England. They're going to have to attack Moeen Ali and force Ben Stokes to bowl in that lineup, because if Moeen Ali goes kind of wrong in that world, it might force a change of them playing without a spinner or whatever it might be. I think we're going to see Australia playing the way in which you think Australia, almost their history of the way in which they've played the game. And it will be aggressive, and it will be, I think, pretty full on. And hopefully we're going to be in for some like mega scores, and there could well be some records broken, I think, in this test series.
I think finally we need to sort of get onto the big question is, well, the big question that everyone's asking, which is, will Basball stand up to what will be its most significant test so far? You know, the teams England have played, that there are caveats that people throw around. England dispatched them all pretty easily. But Australia, they probably do represent a different challenge, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But I think it's not a case of they are, what's the word? It's not in its infancy. So I think when you start to see things like culture and when you see like tactics and all this kind of stuff, like there are obviously people trying to move against it and trying to say, right, what can we do a little bit differently? And we might start to see quite different fields. Like if you saw when we played New Zealand the first time, they were kind of shell-shocked at kind of what England were doing. When we played them the second time, they actually had changed their approach to where their fielding was. It wasn't as kind of traditional. And I think that's what we're going to see more and more of in this test series, of that reaction. But I do think when it comes to the five test matches, England will definitely come out on top on probably two occasions because of the way in which they are playing cricket. Australia, however, will also do the same on another two occasions. It's that final one. I think it's going to be 3-2 either way. And I think at one game, England are going to give them an absolute hiding. And on another occasion, I think Australia are also going to dismiss England really early on and also win at a canter. So I think it's going to be explosive. I'm hoping the explosiveness, it doesn't mean that cricket's almost over on day two when I'm there on Saturday.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be really exciting.
We did see that a little bit against South Africa last year, didn't we? Matches literally being over after 2.5 days, three days. There's just no real depth to the matches. I think we should probably turn to questions now, because I know you have to head off. So let's start. Let's just go through the list as they came in on Twitter. Mask says, do you see Bairstow at the wicketkeeper as a potential stumbling block compared to Folks, or will England's tactics elsewhere overcome that?
I don't really see Johnny Bairstow as a downgrade to Folks in the glove department. Like, regardless of how good some of the pieces he is, it's much of a muchness between those two, as far as I'm concerned, in English conditions.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Bairstow has more about him.
Yeah, I basically agree with both of those points. I think standing up to the stumps, obviously you want Folks, he is better, but when you can stand back, yeah, Bairstow's pretty athletic. He's not going to drop like four catches a match or something, you know, something ridiculous like that. I can see basically why they did it. Next question: are Clouds playing along for Anderson tomorrow? From Critic. I think this is a little bit of an unfair question. I think there's an idea that not really an idea, but I don't think you take over 700 test wickets because you bowl well when it's cloudy. even though it's cloudy a lot in England, and even though that does elevate Anderson from a really good bowler to a great bowler, I think, you know, and unless you're really bitter about one occasion where this has happened against your team, you have to kind of look at the piece in full with Anderson. And I think he's pretty decent. Ross, I don't know if you've got any hot takes like that on Anderson.
No, I mean, we might as well throw Broad into there as well, of being a lucky bowler, right? I think there's definitely a level of talent there. I think people are sitting there saying, no, you've got to watch out for Anderson, watch out for Broad. Robinson, I think, is England's biggest threat. I think Robinson is absolutely brilliant, and he's taken to test cricket like a duck to water, and he's added more to his game. And I think that is he's the point of difference, just because of his consistency and what he does. Like, he's a brilliant, brilliant seam bowler. And I think that is going to be a massive factor, because he's demonstrated that he can bowl with that old ball, or the 41 overs to 80 overs that you were talking about there, Jack. And he's demonstrated that he can take wickets in that period.
Yeah, Canafodder says, who's going to average more, Crawley or Warner? I think that's an interesting question. What are your thoughts?
The bull is going to rage back. So I'll put it with David Warner.
All right, fair enough. And then Jagan says, who will be the oldest player to play a cricket match, Dhoni or Anderson? Who are you taking there?
Well, I thought that Mike Brearley played Test cricket at an older age than that, and so did WG Grace, didn't he? So I think there's some older contestants.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, nobody's going to beat... I mean, I think there's a few guys who played their 50s back in the day. No one's been that. I think that sort of wraps up questions. Ross, right at the end of the show, we should do our predictions. What do you think is going to happen in this series?
Yeah, I'm going to stick by my 3-2 either way. I think there's not going to be...
You can't say 3-2 either way. You have to pick a way.
I'm an England fan, so 3-2 England.
Fair enough. I think these are two really closely matched teams. And I think, generally speaking, when you get two closely matched teams, the team that's at home finds a way to win. So I'm going to stick with you, I think, on that, Ross. And as you took 3-2, I'll take the more extreme view and say 3-1.
I'd take 5-0.
Someone did actually ask us, I can't remember what the question was, like, are Australia going to win this 5-0? I really think people are going to be surprised by how effective Bazball is against a so-called better team. Like the way England have played and beaten everybody else in the last 12 months should be telling you that this is quite effective. The fact that England are at home should be a pretty significant factor. And I think the fact that Australia probably won't have good plans for dealing with Bazball early in the season or early in the series make a difference as well. And if that does prove to be the case, I mean, what is it? The whole series is 7 weeks long. It's not like there's a significant amount of time for them to come up with a solution if in the first match they ship 450 runs in a day, which actually is something that could happen.
Nope, I agree. So and I think our internet is absolutely terrible today, so we'll have to hope it gets better over the course of the next 7 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers, everyone. We will ring up our internet service provider and see what the issue is there, and be back soon. Someone asked if we're going to do shows every day. We're not absolutely sure on that. We'll hope to, but there'll definitely be days that we miss. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.